Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the conference call today in regard to Ping An's 2016 first quarter results presentation. Mr. Jason Yao, Executive Director, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer and Chief Actuary of Ping An Group will be attending today's call. This conference call will be conducted in English and will last for about 30 minutes. To allow more questions, please ask no more than one question at a time. And please also state your name and the name of your company before asking your question. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now move on to the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please press star and then 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. The first question comes from Jenny, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Madison. I have a number of questions. I'm wondering, is that possible for you to disclose the reserve changes due to the lower yield curve? Because it's not like normally they have the numbers released on the Shanghai Exchange. I'm just wondering if you could do so as well.
I think we will consider your request, but I think so we have not disclosed, so we won't be able to disclose at this price. So, but anyway, we will consider that.
Okay, so then if you can answer that question, I ask another one. So I actually want to have some understanding on this VAT reform. So according to our understanding, there's going to be some tax changes on interest rates, interest income, basically. So maybe can you give us some high level description on what will be taxed, what will be changing?
There is some new policies on the VAT previously. I think one aspect is the interest rate you see from the bonds and some of the deposits will be applied a 6% VAT tax. I think that is, but it doesn't apply to government bonds and municipal bonds, etc. So basically, this is one aspect. Of course, the overall VAT scheme is a totally different scheme from the previous business tax scheme. So there are a lot of moving elements. So overall, the company is still trying to evaluate, what will be the overall impact. I think some of the impacts will be positive, some of them will be negative. But I think also there are some aspects have not been has not been 100% clear. So we will also discuss or communicate with the tax bureau to finalize that. And overall, I think I said that in our annual results. Overall, the impact of VAT to the company is overall is relatively neutral.
Thank you.
Yeah. The next question comes from JP Morgan. NMP, please go ahead.
Hello, management. This is MW Kim from JP Morgan. I have one question on the systematically important insurer development. It seems that China regulator is to introduce the China burden on systematically important insurer. How this impact on the company's capital allocation or balance management going forward? And also, I'm trying to look at the IAIS disclosure on the GSII, the consultation, it seems that you are also working on the high-level the capital management and the stress test under the GSII formula. How this also impacts on your future the capital allocation? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Shane. I think the overall, the China, the DSI, right, what we call the domestic systemically important insurer, I think the CRC, the regular, just kick off. So just kick off. So they are still in the initial stage. So then I think following there will be more specific guidelines or some of the policies. So it is a little bit too early to say what will be the capital impact on insurance company at this stage. So this is still a developing process, right? But overall for Ping An, since we are already in the GSI, right? So overall, I think we have done a lot of work, you know, according to those international guidelines, whatever. So I think this domestic framework will be in line with the international one. So I don't think it will be a significant impact to us, even on the capital side. Even on the GSI side, I mean, I think last year, the GSI released called SLA, additional capital requirement need. But overall, according to the current version, there is no material impact on PNS capital needs or capital requirement. But of course, this is still an ongoing, evolving process. We will keep very close communication and discussion with the IIS going forward and try to, let the international regulators know what will be the China or Chinese specific situation. You know, we are the only company from Asia, from China, so we will also, it's a learning process. It's also for them to know how the Chinese insurance industry operates, what kind of the products, whatever. So I think it's an ongoing process, but currently there is no material or significant impact on our capital requirements.
The next question comes from Dawa Securities. Neil, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. This is Leon from Dawa Securities. I'm wondering if management can share with us more details on the auto insurance reform being extended to 18 areas since the beginning of this year. Because when we look at the disclosure regarding Ping An P&C, your combined ratio in the first quarter this year was largely flat. Despite the fact that credit guarantee insurance now contributes to a much smaller portion of the overall P&C premium. But that part, I think, the most profitable part in terms of combined ratio, which means all the other business should have saw significant improvement in the combined ratio. I'm wondering if this is mainly due to the auto insurance reform or the other non-auto insurance businesses.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the overall first quarter, our combined ratio 94.3%. I think with the auto pricing deregulation began last year and it's going to deepen again across the nation this year. Overall, for our auto business, the combined ratio, what we have seen is relatively stable for us. You know, probably not for the industry, but for us, we have been managing this process quite well. And we should be very confident for the whole year. We should still be able to maintain a quite healthy and a stable combined ratio for our auto insurance business. Then for underlying business, in particular, you just mentioned that this credit insurance business, and actually, I just need to clarify one point. You know, for this credit insurance, only new business will be. The new business, new premium will be decreased due to the overall business model change, right? Some of the business will be moving to a PGP platform, some of them will be moving to a guaranteed platform, etc. So the new business coming from the consumer financing business to P&C will be reduced. But the original in-force business will be there. You know, usually the loan we give to the borrower will be in 2 to 3 year term. So they're going to be stay with PNC company as a runoff business for the next 2 to 3 years. So they will also, the reserve which we have built in the past is still rest with the PNC company and gradually will be released or pay claims. So I think even within the 94.3%, some of the credit business, they also contribute to that. So I think overall the combined ratio in the next 1 or 2 years should also reflect some portion of that business as well. So it's going to be a runoff business. It's not, say, it is totally gone. So I think for each line of business, the COR, which we see, is relatively stable. For our non-auto business, like the credit and the property kind of business, actually the loss ratio in the first quarter actually improved a little bit. But of course, those business have very seasonality issues, and we were trying to monitor that over the year. Yeah.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then 1. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then 1. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then 1. The next question comes from Linda. First thing, please go ahead.
Thank you. It's me again. I just got off the Chinese version. So I've got questions just following the credit guarantee insurance, because I understand the new business is now moved from the PNM PNC into P2P platform and guarantee platform. So I'm just wondering where these P2P and guarantee platforms sit now. Is it at the Lufax or at the PNM Trust? Or so I try to figure out, you know, how which subsidiary, if any, of PNM is housing this business, and how we look at the kind of credit risk and capitalization of the entity that is taking the, you know, providing this kind of credit guarantee insurance. Thank you.
Trust, okay, that's black and white, that's nothing to do with trust. So basically, this consumer finance, right, business is rests with the entity which we created last year called Puhui. And Puhui, you know, as we just closed last year, we are going to restructure that the business under Lufax Holding, and the original Lufax business, Lufax platform in Shanghai, it is just a pure platform. You know, it doesn't bear any risk, any credit risk. It's just a pure trading and information platform. And Puhui is conducting the consumer finance business and including the P2P and the guarantee. So that is how structured. Yeah. It has nothing to do with trust at all. Yeah. So like Lufax Holding as an independent entity, he's going to raise capital. He's going to fund the capital needs for Puhui and also for the Lufax platform. But of course, Lufax platform itself is a capitalized structure. And Puhui, to some extent, it needs some capital, but it won't need a lot of capital going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Lufax, basically you have a Lufax holding company, and then which under the Lufax holding company you have Ping An Puhui, Ping An Lufax platform, and also the Shanghai Dingxin, right? So the Ping An group owns 40-something% of Lufax. So that 40% of Lufax, is that Lufax holdco or is that Lufax platform?
Lufax platform, after the restructure.
Oh, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then 1. Thank you. If you have any questions, please press star and then 1. The next question comes from Bloomberg in Jingjie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jason. Management, thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask questions. Wonderful presentation, a lot of good details. I just have a quick one. I want to follow on Leon's question on the combined ratio. So when I look at the first quarter, it's 94.3, and then if I compare it, although I don't think we have the first quarter of 2015 as a comparison yet, but if I look at the first half of 2015, it's actually lower than the 94.3. I think it's somewhere around 93.6. So I was wondering if I extrapolate for the first half, do you foresee that the first half combined ratio will still be above the level of last year? And I was wondering, in the first quarter, has there any impact from the severe winter, the cold winter in January, that possibly boosted the loss ratios?
I don't think there is that is the reason. I don't think that. I think overall, 93.6, 94.3. Overall, I think it's all very good level. It's very good level for TNC business, and we are quite happy. Overall, it's relatively stable. But then, of course, once we disclose the second half, the first half numbers, I think still, will be relatively fairly stable. But of course, TNC business always has some volatility. Usually in the first half, the combined ratio may be lower than the second half. Some of expense will pick up, and usually in the second half, some of the the flood, the typhoon, whatever, will incur in the second half. So second half combined ratio will usually be higher than the first half. But overall, from the trend in the first quarter, I think the P&C business for us, I cannot speak for the industry, but for us, we are quite confident. We still manage a very good business.
Great. Thanks so much. And if I can just follow up with another question. I probably missed it on the Putonghua side, but it's a question about life. And I was wondering, with the surge in new premiums in first quarter, can I assume that most of the products are still savings and investment oriented? And if so, what kind of, roughly speaking, what kind of guarantee rates were in those policies?
I think usually for companies like us, in the first quarter, the proportion of saving elements, saving oriented products, the proportion is relatively high compared to the whole year. But then since the second quarter, and usually we still begin to sell a lot of protection type of products. So for savings oriented products, we usually it's more like participating products. We sell a lot of participating products, which participating products, the guarantee rate is 2.5%. Then on top of that, we pay dividends. For some of the protection type of products, we sell par products still with 2.5% guarantee, but with the guaranteed rate, the new guarantee rate may be 3.5%, 2-4% at most. But that proportion is relatively small.
I see. And I'm sorry, lastly, this will be the last question. Solvency ratio actually improved quite a bit on the P&C side, and it's probably coming from a lower minimum required capital. I was just curious, what constant, has that anything to do with the guaranteed insurance or just overall changes in business mix?
I think our auto insurance, the growth rate is quite strong. So usually, under the Solvency II, the capital requirement for profitable auto insurance, the capital requirement is relatively small compared to under Solvency I. So I think that's the main reason for P&C's capital.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, we have come to almost end of the conference, and we will take one last question.
The last question comes from JK Capital. Jaden, please go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yeah, please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. My question is, as you said, 1Q has a higher proportion of savings and investment-related products. Given the compression and spread, do you think that the savings and investment-related products growth, which is a dominant portion of your business, would probably slow down in the coming quarters? I mean, obviously, 1Q didn't reflect any kind of slowdown with a very strong business. But what is the way going forward? What would be the trend going forward in terms of the savings and investment-related product growth? And also, what is the number of active agents that has grown on the comparable period?
I didn't get your question. I'm sorry. You know, what's the trend for savings type of products going forward?
Yeah, right. Given on the backdrop of compression in investment yield, do you think that savings and investment related products growth would slow down going forward?
The growth, I think it's a big question, right? So as you think, you know, even seeing from the last year, right, as the China overall the interest rate declined, you know, quite fast, but then you see the life insurance growth rate is quite strong. You know, it's not just for Ping An, for the whole industry, and even I think in the first quarter, some of the life insurance companies' growth rate is also quite strong. So I think for us, like the product we currently offer, like our products, like universal life products, we still relatively be able to create a rate about 4%, right? 4% to 4.5%. So basically, insurance companies, their investment yield is relatively more stable. You know, even there is a decrease in environment, we don't decrease that fast because, you know, only the new money is affected, but the in-force business, you know, we already invested in relatively longer duration assets. So we should be able to hold for a while. So I think then in those kind of decreased interest rate environment, then insurance products may show some advantage compared to like short-term banking products, short-term wealth management products. So basically, that trend maybe hold up for a while, But then for us, I just mentioned, you know, usually we have different, for each quarter, you know, we have different pace. Like first quarter, we sell more savings type of product. But then since the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, we will sell more protection type of products. So the overall, we still, for the whole year, we will be able to maintain a relatively stable product mix compared to last year. And then we hope we will be able to maintain our product margin. Then eventually, our goal is to increase new business value. That's the most important objective for life business, right? And new business value is most important thing. So I think in the first half, we achieved 38.3%. You know, it's still a very strong number. You know, I think the overall, you know, we also want to achieve sustainable growth, right? Sustainable growth. So I think last year we had about 40% growth. This year the momentum continues, like 38.3%. And we do hope we should be able to, we try to keep that growth or growth in that range, you know, for the first half, you know, for the whole year of this year. So I think you know, we will try to do that, and to some extent we are quite confident. And the number, the growth in number of agents is also relatively healthy. I think in the first quarter we did not disclose the agency number, but then I think we will disclose that in the interim report. Yeah. But overall, the life business, apart from investment volatility, the business fundamental is quite strong and healthy, and we try to make it more sustainable.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, so this concludes today's telephone conference, and thank you very much for attending the conference. So thank you again. Bye.